Oil prices rise on reports of a drone attack in Saudi Arabia. From London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Prices of the international oil benchmark, Brent crude, rose nearly 3% to above $70 a barrel this morning. That's after Saudi Arabia condemned a missile and drone attack on oil installations launched by Yemen's Houthi rebels. The Saudi government said it intercepted 12 armed drones and two missiles and condemned what it says was an attack on global energy security. The nation's energy ministry said no damage or injuries were reported at its Aramco terminal. Caroline Bain, chief commodities economist at Capital Economics, explains then why global oil prices moved higher on the news.
A couple of reasons, I think. Obviously, any attack that is targeting Saudi oil facilities is a big risk to the oil market. One of these drone attacks in 2012 did cause a lot of damage, and we saw Saudi production drop by 50%. So I think it's probably a reaction just to the risk of there being some damage to Saudi oil facilities. However, I would say as well, though, there's a lot of upward momentum in oil prices at the moment. The OPEC meeting last week, OPEC showed far more supply restraint than the market was pricing in. So I think oil prices are on the rise anyway, and this has just fueled the flames, if you like.
As you say, yeah, the price of Brent crude is now three times higher than it was at its 2020 low back in April. What do you think that signals about expectations for demand recovery? Because some see oil prices heading back to $100 a barrel, while others like the boss at French energy giant Total still think we're a couple of years off from a full recovery.
I think there's definitely a lot of optimism being priced into the market. And we mustn't forget that there's a huge amount of oil production capacity being held offline at the moment. And just mentioned that OPEC have decided to maintain their supply restraint. But once we do start to see oil demand pick up, I think it'll be very difficult to keep that oil off the market, especially at higher prices. So while we see oil prices perhaps rising a bit further in the near term, I think later in the year, as oil demand and supply recover, we could see prices slipping back again.
Caroline Bain, Chief Commodities Economist at Capital Economics. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Victoria.
Well, checking some other numbers now, key stock benchmarks here in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are up as much as 0.7%. Elsewhere, though, the Senate's approval of a new $1.9 trillion stimulus package in the U.S. is sending fresh jitters through financial markets there. That's as investors worry about rising inflation expectations. Dow and S&P 500 futures are off between 0.3% and 0.7%. NASDAQ futures are down nearly 2%. Here we have new details this morning about one high-profile London stock market listing. Food delivery giant Deliveroo is expected to fetch a valuation of around $7 billion, though it's yet to make a profit. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more on that.
Britain was the country where Deliveroo's founder, Will Shue, established the company, delivering restaurant meals and more by bicycle. He's chosen London as the venue to raise new funds from the stock market. The terms of the listing will give Mr. Shue personally a central role. For the first 3 years, his shares will have 20 times the voting weight of those held by other investors. Deliveroo is a business that has thrived in the pandemic. While restaurants have been hit very hard, many customers have turned to delivery services as an alternative. Total transactions processed by Deliveroo increased by almost two-thirds last year. The company plans to make payments to some of its longest-serving riders, in some cases in excess of $10,000. In London, I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Today is International Women's Day, an occasion to celebrate women's achievements and raise awareness against bias. The coronavirus pandemic and the shift to working and schooling during lockdown has sparked a conversation about gender equality at work and home, as the BBC's Manuela Saragossa reports.
Stella Creasy is a British politician for the opposition Labour Party. She knows the difficulties of juggling motherhood and work all too well.
I have a young daughter and I'm pregnant with my second child. And, you know, it is very difficult to make work-life balance work.
Stella's worried about the long-term impact of the pandemic on women. She's not alone. A recent report by PwC found that in 17 out of 24 OECD countries that reported an overall increase in unemployment in 2020, women were the most affected. COVID-19, the report said, has increased the unequal burden of care carried by women, causing more of them to leave the labour market during the pandemic.
There is a tsunami of mum unemployment coming our way. Something like 70% of women who've wanted to go back to work haven't been able to do so because of childcare. That's partly because our schools have been shut. So first and foremost, we need to have a very serious conversation about making sure that there is childcare available to all families. Secondly, the only bit of reporting that this government abandoned when it came to business reporting and corporate governance was the gender pay gap. We know that countries that are more equal are more prosperous and also more resilient.
Despite that, some argue the pandemic needn't be all bad for gender equality. Dr. Holly Birkett at Birmingham University published a study about working from home during lockdown.
We're definitely finding that more parents, including fathers, want to look at how they can work more flexibly in the future. And also managers and organisations are looking at being more supportive. This is also coming through in our data in terms of more senior roles as well, which has been really unusual in the past.
Dr. Birkett says this is helping to remove the stigma of part-time and flexible working, something many women do.
If it was just employees wanting to work more flexibly and employers hadn't seen any benefits, I do think it would be much more likely that we would be returning to normal. I think one of the key differences is that now the CEO's seen it can work and, you know, productivity has remained the same. This flexibility stigma is potentially starting to disappear.
Many argue we're now at a crossroads when it comes to gender equality, but there's no doubt company and government policy may well determine which way we turn. I'm the BBC's Manuela Zaragoza for Marketplace.
Finally, the anonymous graffiti artist known as Banksy is aiming to raise more than $4 million for the UK's National Health Service. He's auctioning off a painting that popped up at Southampton General Hospital during the first wave of the coronavirus pandemic. It shows a child casting Batman and Spider-Man aside and instead clutching a figure of a masked healthcare worker wearing a cape. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.